There's a day coming, isn't there, where there will be no more disappointment, no more grief, no more fear, no more pain, no more despair, and we'll be with the Lord, and we will see Him face to face. But life tries to take us away from that joy, doesn't it? So often. And tonight we're looking at a psalm that every time I read it just reminds me of how amazing our God is and how much He's done for us to secure us that place in heaven, but also to secure for us joy and satisfaction on earth. And only Jesus Christ can truly satisfy us. So let's pray now that He would reveal that satisfaction to us, reveal that love to us. Father, we pray that You would indeed speak to us through Your word now. We thank You so much for all that You are and all that You've done for us. Lord, we don't deserve it. Lord, we deep down, we must acknowledge that before You changed us, Lord, we were, as we sang this morning, wretches in Your sight because of our sin. And Lord, we thank You that You in Your mercy were slow to anger and You didn't leave us where we were, but You came down from heaven for us to love us with a love everlasting, a love that paid all of our debt, a love that set us free to true life with You now and for eternity. And I thank You for those of us that know that love, that freedom, that forgiveness through Jesus Christ. You've given us blessing upon blessing. And Lord, I pray tonight, no matter where we are, no matter where we've come from tonight, Lord, tonight we would leave this place assured of who we are in You, assured of Your love for us, assured of where we're going when we die, and assured of what we're meant to be like now on earth. Father, speak to us, I pray, through Your word, for Your glory and for our joy. In His name, amen. Amen. So keep your Bibles open to Psalm 103. We're going to try and work through it. I know it's quite a big piece of text, but there's just so much amazing things we can learn here about what our God has done for us. So I encourage you to work through it with me. This is a psalm of David, a man who knew God deeply, a man who knew God intimately. And this is a psalm of praise to David's God, to our God. It talks about the amazing works of God. And we have the great privilege of reading this and applying it directly to our lives in light of what Christ has done to accomplish these things for us. David only knew in part what God was going to do. But now Christ has come and fulfilled this psalm. And He makes it real for us, doesn't He? So David starts with these words. Before anything else, he just says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul." The first thing that David does is just worship God for who He is. Nothing else needs to be said. No reasons need to be given at first. He simply just wants to worship God. God is worthy of all of our praise. God is worthy of every part of us. David says, "All that is within me, bless His holy name." God, isn't He? He's just every good, grand, superlative that we could ever think of in any language we could ever speak. He deserves it all. He deserves all of our praise. He alone deserves it, and it's good to praise Him. When you sing, think about who He is. Think about the words. Don't just sing for the sake of singing. Sing to Him. He's alive. He's with us right now. He's in this room. He's with you. Praise Him. It's good to praise Him, not just in church. Can I encourage you to praise Him as often as you can, to thank Him, to adore Him in prayer. Don't just be someone who goes to Him with asking time after time, but just thank Him as well and adore Him for who He is and what He's done. When was the last time you just simply worshipped God for who he was, for who he is. The motives, the prayers of our heart must include thanks. We see it here in this psalm, in many psalms. The psalmists are just thanking God for what he's done. Jesus thanked God all the time. Doesn't the Lord's Prayer start off, "Our Father, blessed be your name"? Bless the Lord. Maybe that's something that you can change in your prayer life. Just thanking God. David is clearly enjoying this time of prayer. Look at all the exclamation marks. He's enjoying it. It's okay to enjoy God. And we should enjoy him more. Because like I said, we know God more. We know more of God than David did. We know God's full revelation to us through Jesus Christ. We know God's full salvation plan, which David only knew in part. We've got it all, guys. We should be praising him more than David did. And I think part of that is just asking God to give us more of a passion, more of a love for him. Maybe you need to repent of unjoyfulness tonight. Or maybe you've been distant from God for too long and your prayer life is dull. Today, you can turn back to him and find new grace and new mercy to enjoy spending the rest of your days with God. Don't be bitter. David goes on, doesn't he, to talk about the reasons why we can worship God. And these help us in our worship. These help us in our prayer. We need to remind ourselves today and every day of what God has done for us. It will propel you into praise. Forget not all his benefits, verse 2 says. Let's look at some of those benefits. The first one, verse 3, the most important one. If God did not forgive us our iniquity, if God did not heal us spiritually, we couldn't come to him at all. And it's God that does that work. God saved us from our sin. God called us to praise him. If we don't know God's forgiveness, we can never praise him, because our sin separates us from his perfect holiness. We know that our punishment should be what Christ received on the cross. We all deserved Christ's death. And David was made right by believing in the Messiah that was to come. David was made right by looking forward to see the Lamb of God that was promised back to Abraham. David knew that God had forgiven him. And we can know that too, truly, fully. It says that he forgives all your iniquity. And in verse 10, it goes on to say, he does not deal with us according to our sin, nor repay us according to our iniquities. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins if we put our trust in Christ, because on the cross, God punished Christ for us in our place. We get to go free because of what Christ has done. That alone is a reason to praise God forever. We get to go free because Jesus died in our place. David was singing this psalm before he knew Jesus died for him. Before Jesus did die for him, he was singing it in faith. We can now say thanks to God for forgiving us our sin, and we know it in all its fullness that's found in Jesus. Christianity's most profound symbol, isn't it? It's the cross. He died to forgive us. What an amazing benefit of knowing God Almighty. Never forget this. In fact, this morning, we looked at how daily we are to come to the cross. Daily, we are to take up the cross and follow Jesus Christ. That means each day we put to death the sin in our life and live for God. Look at verse 11 and 12 as well. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, So great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Again, this is just an amazing picture of what God has done for us in Christ. I like to picture it. You imagine a compass. What's the shape of a compass? A cross. On the cross, Jesus spread out his arms. And as he was nailed to the cross for us, he said, your sin goes that way. You go that way, never to see the consequences of your sin again. As far as the east is from the west, you can't get any further apart. That's what Jesus has done for us. That's amazing, guys. That is a reason to bless the Lord with all of our soul. Praise him. Jesus has done such an amazing thing for us. Do you know the benefit of forgiven sin? Do you know it personally? Have you put your trust in God, in Christ, who can forgive you all your sins? The only one who can forgive you from all your sins. It can be done this very instant. There's no sin too great. And everyone needs to do it to know God's forgiveness. Ask God to forgive you if you haven't done that. And thank him for the cross. There's a song that we're going to sing after song number 29 in the books by Henry Light, written on Psalm 103. And it says, praise my soul, the King of heaven, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, evermore his praises sing. Alleluia, alleluia, praise the everlasting King. Henry knew what it was to be forgiven. Henry believed this psalm because of Christ. Now, that is an amazing benefit, isn't it? And that's the first one. But the second benefit from this psalm is freedom for new life. Look at verses 4 and 5. It says that God redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. King David knew what it was like to be down in the pit. In Psalm 40, he says that God drew him up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and he set his feet upon the rock, making his steps secure. He put a new song in his mouth, a song of praise to the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, and who does not turn to the proud. David had a point in his life that hit rock bottom. He knew what it was to be apart from God. He knew what it was to be in the pit. And knowing God means that it lifts us out of a pit. And the opposite of being down in the pit, verse 5, soaring high like the eagle. That is what God wants for your life. He wants you to be living life, flying, enjoying life. The first benefit, forgiveness of sin, it sets us free from the old life to a new life, a free life, a true life. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Recently I met a man, as I was doing open air preaching, who was so angry at me. He was shouting at me. He was calling me a liar. He was saying, you're a liar. He was really angry in the streets. Someone phoned the police. That's how angry he was. They phoned the police because of him. Someone that wasn't with me. And I asked this man, what is the truth then? Do you know freedom? And he couldn't answer me. He didn't know freedom. He didn't know the truth. Only Jesus, truth, sets you free to live a new life. And as Christians, one of our titles is called the free. We are free. We are free to be lifted high above the storms of life on wings like eagles. Isaiah 40 one of my favorite songs from the recent years, sings this song. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We're free and we can be truly satisfied in life. Verse 5 says that God satisfies you with good. Imagine if you were in a prison and you were free from that prison, how lush it might feel. But if you weren't satisfied with what was outside, what's the difference? Let me ask you this, are you satisfied? Only Jesus Christ can truly satisfy our deepest desires. Before I was a Christian, I tried to find satisfaction in everything the world had to offer. Drinking, sports, rugby, drugs. I was a womanizer. I tried to find life through being the man. None of it satisfied me. I was hopeless. My life went from bad to worse in a very quick time. And it was only when someone told me about Christ and what he's done to set us free, to forgive us, that I found satisfaction in life. I now know that I'm loved so much that no other love really matters. I don't have to find satisfaction in love from anything else because of his love. And his love sets me free to love others. That's how Jesus' love works. His love is so great, so satisfying. I don't need anything else. Jesus is enough. People try to add things to Jesus. They say, Jesus plus this, Jesus plus works, Jesus plus so and so. No. Simply him. Simply God is all we need to be satisfied. He is enough. He is satisfying. Nothing else will satisfy you like Jesus. God gave us himself, the best gift he could give us, to satisfy our souls. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. We no longer have to be oppressed by sin. We no longer have to be oppressed by Satan or the schemes of the world. There is true freedom and true life to be found in Christ. What an amazing benefit from God. We can know life in the full. This was Jesus' promise to you and me. And if you don't know it in the full, it probably means you're not seeking Christ enough in your life. You're not putting Christ first in your life. You could be putting something, anything else before him. It could be a good thing in terms of the world. It could be family. It could be work. They're not bad things, are they? But if they come before God in our lives, and we try and find our pleasure in them instead of in him, we'll never truly be satisfied. Money is not a bad thing. The love of money is, though. If you love money more than you love God, you will not be satisfied. Just think about all those rock stars, all those millionaires who've got everything the world has to offer. Are they satisfied? No. That's why we read in the papers that one of them takes their life every week. I work with people who are in debt, who have lost their money, and they're suicidal because once their satisfaction has gone from them, their money, there's no point in living anymore because they don't know the satisfaction that God gives. Verse 7 is testimony to God's freedom. It says that God made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. You might know the story of Israel and Moses. Basically, they were trapped in slavery, weren't they? They were in bondage in Egypt. And Moses was in bondage from a past of guilt and fear because Moses killed someone. But God set his people free from a terrible life to one where God ruled over them instead of Pharaoh. But what do? They still complained. Are we like them? Have we been set free from bondage but still complain? Only God can give you the new life, the full life. The third benefit then, the thing that ties all this together, that we're forever loved and not forever under God's wrath. Verses 8 and 9. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. God is angry. God is an angry God, but he never sins in his anger. It's not a sin to be angry. It just depends on what that anger is aimed at. God is slow to anger, but he is angry at some things. God is ultimately angry at sin. And so because of his great love, he did something about it. He sent his son to face God's anger for us in our place. And we too now are to be angry at sin and injustice. But what an amazing benefit. God has not kept his anger on us. He put it on Christ for us. If you have not asked God to forgive you, the Bible says that you will face the wrath of God one day. I'm warning you because I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you. Indifference is an outworking of hate. But as Christians, the most loving thing we can do for someone is to warn them, to tell them about who our God is. Yes, he's a God of love, but he's also a God who is angry at sin and is just to punish it. One day, everyone's going to be gathered before him. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 25. All people will be before him that's ever lived. Those of us who know Christ will not feel God's wrath because Christ felt it for us on the cross. Those of us, those people who don't know God's love and forgiveness, will feel God's wrath. There are people who laugh at this and mock it and scoff at it. It's not a laughing matter. And when you truly think about it, when I truly think about what hell is going to be like, it's horrible. But it's God being just, God being true to who he is, a God that cannot just let sin go without punishment. And he counts it so seriously. That's what happened to Christ because of it. The Bible says that we have all sinned. We've all done wrong. We've all turned our back on God, which is ultimately the biggest sin. And therefore, God is just to punish all of us. But I believe that Christ took that punishment for me in my place on the cross. And I believe that you can know that too. It's a free gift to you. Completely free. All you have to do is believe by faith that Christ died for you. And that he was raised to new life. And you can have that too. God has ordained for you to be here today. Are you confident that you will not face God's wrath? Because you've been warned. And you can be confident because of what Christ has done. That is an amazing benefit. So we've seen the benefits of the Lord. To know sins forgiven. Not only to be forgiven, but to know a new life in Christ. A life with God. A life of fullness and satisfaction. And we've seen what it cost Christ to achieve that for us. The hymn by Henry Lyte goes on to say this. Praise him for his grace and favour to our fathers in distress. That's talking about Moses and Israel. Praise him still the same forever, slow to chide, slow to get angry, and swift to bless. Alleluia, alleluia, glorious in his faithfulness. And the final blessing we're going to look at tonight is that we can become part of God's family. We've seen forgiveness, freedom, forever loved, and now part of God's family. Let's read verses 13 to 19. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind passes over it, and it's gone. Its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Someone told me recently the Bible talks about death around 40% of the time and life about 60% of the time. But in our lives, we don't do the same, do we? We never talk about death. I'm only 23, but I've seen many people die that I knew personally. Some people while I was in school. Two people while I was in year 10 died. One of them committed suicide, and the other one was hit by a train. I've seen a lot of older people die as well. And we've seen, you know, millions dying on the news probably in my lifetime. David here is recalling from his life. He's seen many people die. His best friend died. Thousands of people in his army would have died. Goliath died. David knows that life is very short. He says that we are like dust. We're like a flower that comes and goes. People are afraid of death. You know, in a poll recently, there was a poll that asked, what are the two highest fears of man? And the top two answers were death and public speaking. Well, I'm doing both of them tonight. I'm talking about one by doing the other. But the truth is, guys, life is but a breath, isn't it? Only one life, there's a saying. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. We are just like that piece of dust. Just like a flower that comes in the spring and is gone a few weeks later. We could be gone from sight at any moment. Are you ready to stand before God? You can know peace through those times. David wrote another psalm that talks about even though he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he will fear no evil because he knew that God was with him. He feared nothing because he knew God was with him. The good news is this life is not all there is. I don't know what you've experienced in life, but there's a time coming, like we've already said tonight, where there'll be no more hurt and no more pain, no more illness, no more death. And that'll be for eternity, which is a long time. And if we know God, we can spend it with him, adopted into his family. Not just distant, this is intimate stuff. God cares for us like a father cares for his children. The New Testament talks about how Christ cared for Israel as a mother hen gathers little baby chickens under their wing. I think I spent a lot of my time as a Christian living like I was still in the orphanage without really living with my father. It's so easy to live like we're still there, like we're still apart from him. Or maybe you are like a photograph of him and you just look at it every now and again. Or maybe to you, God is like the father who only comes home on the weekend or at night. But that's not who our father is. Our father is there always. He's always with us. He said, I'll never leave you. ever. God is a loving Father. The Lord's Prayer again. Our Father. What an amazing benefit. We've all been adopted into His family. To know His love. And He is a good Father. It's weird to think that the Bible compares us to dust. And yet God has adopted us into His family. Just think about that. If you were looking at some dust, maybe, I don't know, your homes are probably spotless. I've got dust at home. We've got a young child. We don't have as much time to clean as we'd like. But I was looking at some dust as I was preparing for this. And I was thinking, technically, that's what I am to God. A piece of dust. But He has adopted me into His family. And He loves me with everlasting love. Even though I'm just tiny, insignificant piece of dust. When you live with that in your mind, life just seems so much freer. All the stuff we worry about is pointless. And for all eternity, we will know God as our Father. There are amazing benefits from our God. The hymn we're going to sing in a minute, it says, Father, like He tends and spares us. Well, our feeble frame He knows. In His hands He gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. Frail as summer's flower we flourish, blows the wind and it is gone. But while mortals rise and perish, our God lives unchanging on. And the final part of this psalm just talks about how God has established His throne forever. How His kingdom rules over everything. God, our Father, is in control of everything. And it's just a call at the end to bless God. David calls the angels to bless God. David calls all of the heavenly beings, all of the ministers, everyone who does the will of the Lord to bless the Lord. He calls the whole of creation to bless the Lord. And the song we're going to sing finishes by saying, Angels, help us to adore Him. You behold Him face to face. Sun and moon bow down before Him. Dwellers all in time and space. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise with us the God of grace. We're joining with the angels tonight. We're joining with the whole of creation in worshipping God. There's that part in the New Testament that says, if we didn't praise God, the rocks would cry out. David closes this wonderful psalm by calling all of creation, all people, to worship God. And I do the same to you tonight. Worship Him. Bless Him with all that you have. His benefits far outweigh anything this life could give you. Forgiveness from sin. Freedom from new life. Forever loved, not under wrath. Family for eternity. Live your life in light of these benefits. Be a person of praise, today and forever. Don't forget them. David calls you, don't forget these benefits. Read this psalm daily if you have to remind yourself of what they are until it sinks in. Jesus is worthy of all that we can give Him and so much more. Let's pray together before we sing.